Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, no other name I know. That's why I bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name I know. Oh, there is no other name I know.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. God is better than I even know. And I know God is good. If you had any idea of how good God's been to me, God has been better to me than your wildest imagination. More than you could possibly understand. God has been better to me than I have been to myself. He's a good God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. He truly is a good God. Amen. Wonderful presence of the Lord here tonight. Amen. It's Bible study night, and I've got a whole bunch of Bible that I want to recite to you. If you don't get anything else, if you don't get anything from me, get what's in the Word. If you'll just get what I read from the Word of God tonight, it'll be powerful for you. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 20 is where I'd like to start. I'm going to read beginning at verse 20 and reading down from there to 28. Matthew 20, beginning at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he said unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of the cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you. Let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. My topic tonight, which I kind of struggle with, what do you call a sermon? I don't know. Sometimes stumbling over or carrying your cross. It may not be an easy message tonight, but I'll tell you what, God is still good. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, I pray, Lord, even tonight, God, that you would help me, Lord, to convey what it is that, Lord, this word contains here. Help me, Lord, to say in the Holy Ghost, Lord, of your purpose and of your will for this people. Help me, God, to convey it. Help me, Lord, to say it. And Lord, help us to hear it, Lord, to touch our hearts by it, Lord, that we might be changed, Lord, to trust you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Stumbling over the cross, carrying the cross. There's a huge, great big difference. Matthew 23, verse 11, it says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know, we just got through our communion and our foot washing service, and it was absolutely wonderful. There was a presence of the Lord. There was a unity among the people. There was a moving of the Spirit of God. It was good. Amen. It was good. Jesus is our example. And even in this verse of Scripture, his disciples, they desire a good thing. They desire to be a part of the kingdom of God. They want to be on his right hand, on his left hand. They want to be right there. They have a desire. I believe it's good to have a desire to be in the kingdom of God, to want to belong in the kingdom of God. I'm not here because somebody makes me come. I'm here because I want to serve the Lord. Amen. Now, tonight I'm talking about, it's a basic Bible principle that greatness can never be obtained from selfish motives pertaining to the kingdom of God. You're not going to be advanced in the kingdom of God because you want to be somebody. No. Those who God exalts are those that serve the Lord. You have to have, like Jesus was, be willing to serve. Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to sit on a throne and be waited on. Amen. He dwelt among the people. He went out there and touched them and held the children. He ministered. Amen. He didn't sit back and wait for, all right, bring me the stuff. No. The teachings of Jesus Christ are clearly given here in this portion of Scripture that I read to correct some misleading or misgiven or just wrong thinking of the disciples. In fact, all of them had wrong thinking. Some of them thought to get ahead. Some of them were miffed because the others wanted to get ahead. You know, so all of them had a problem. You know, there is a distinguishable difference between worldly greatness and kingdom of God greatness. Jesus contrasts the behavioral patterns of the princes of the Gentiles and the children of the kingdom. He uses the example of the authorities of their day, you know, those that ruled the Jews, and then those in the kingdom of God. Greatness is defined as chief. I understand that. I know what a chief is. Eminent. Illustrious. High in rank. High-minded. Wealthy. Proud. Dominant. Those are definitions for greatness. You see, great men of the world are acclaimed by these standards. To esteem those of in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the church is far greater than the kings of the earth. It would be better for you to be a servant in the house of the Lord than to be the king of a land or the president of the United States. True greatness in Christ's kingdom is found in him who serves the most needs and who is faithful in a few things. We must not be interested in sitting on the throne, but are concerned about servitude, not dominance. You see, being a servant and not a chief. True greatness is drinking the cup, like Jesus was referring to, of suffering and accepting the baptism that he was baptized with. Our excellency is not found in ourselves. Doesn't matter how good you think you are, you're not good without God. We need Jesus Christ. We must have the attributes that Jesus Christ had in his nature. We become great when we follow him. You want to do something great in the kingdom of God? Just do what he says. That's how you're going to be great in the kingdom of God. Obey the word. Amen. Obey the word. You keep obeying God. You keep following him. God will lead you to do great things in the kingdom of God. Let me talk about the conditions of greatness. James and John, in our example, did not understand why they did not, it's clearly misunderstood why Christ came into the world. They're thinking, man, he's going to be exalted to king. And I want to help the king. I want to be his right-hand man. I want to be his left-hand man. They were going to rule with Jesus Christ. They were absolutely certain he was going to have a kingdom here on earth. You see, Jesus is the king. But he doesn't need anything from us. What was already said here today. God doesn't need anything from us. He's still great and he's still God. Amen. His disciples clearly did not understand in this example. Christ is not against achievement. He's not against success. But tells us the condition of true greatness and how that greatness is attained. Greatness in the kingdom of God is a person's willingness to follow Jesus Christ. Now, following Jesus Christ, it's a blessed life. But I tell you what, there's examples in Scripture of suffering. Christians that suffered, and they still followed Him. There's examples of Christians in the Word that had separation, that even had servitude, and they were still Christians. So think about it. I'm convinced that our world, that the coming of Jesus Christ is on the soon horizon. We need to be prepared for what the Word of God says will happen. Wow. Matthew mentions this reading that I started out with is very similarly repeated. Matthew mentions the same account, the mother of James and John. Mark mentions only the sons of Jesus with their request. Mark chapter 10, same situation, another reading of it in as an example. Let me read Mark 10, beginning at verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. That's pretty bold, don't you think? Jesus, do whatever we say. Do whatever we want. You see, they had a misunderstanding of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus didn't get all heated up over it, but he did correct them. Let me show you. Verse number 36. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Jesus is explaining how it works in the world, and they understand it well. Verse 43, But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to minister unto, not be ministered unto, but to minister. And he gave his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus was explaining to them, giving an example of how the world works, and then explaining how the kingdom of God works. And they are not the same. James and John felt that they should have precedence over the others. You know, they were family to Jesus. They were close. They were blood related. Maybe because of those family ties, they expected special treatment. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 and 50, Jesus turns that whole thinking right on its head. Jesus has a great way of setting things straight. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 46. While he yet talked with the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Your family is here. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Wow. Jesus just turned the whole world upside down. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Wow. Kind of puts a whole new perspective on my church family. How special my church family is. Amen. In the sight of God, doing the will of God is so important that it places you in a whole new category, in a whole new place. You see, his kingdom is not one of flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual kingdom. Yes, James and John had faith in Christ. Since their request immediately followed the Lord's informing them that his impending death and resurrection, they had trust in their master to establish a kingdom. They knew what Jesus said would come to pass. There would be a kingdom of God. They had a messed up thinking it was, you know, going to be a throne and, you know, like all the other kingdoms. But no, it was different than that. There was a misunderstanding of God's design. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. God never intended for his disciples to take up swords and spears and shields and fight with the Roman army. That was never God's intention. And yet, the kingdom of God was established. Kingdoms of this world are possessed by the powerful. They are maintained by conquest. Mr. Putin thinks that if he'll just keep pressing with his military, he will win. That's not like the kingdom of God. That's not what God intended. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is not by inheritance, and it's not by conquest. No battles were fought, no blood flowed in the streets, but Christ's kingdom was established. Read Acts chapter 2. The church is born without thousands of people battling with swords and spears. That never happened. It was never intended. We should not be willing to settle for less than what God intended for us. God wants us to serve Him. Don't just settle for a seat, but we are to possess all things. God wants us to have His kingdom. First Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 20. First Corinthians 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Tell you what, God wants us to have a fulfilled Christian life. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That little tiny verse of Scripture, verse 23, it has a special meaning for me. Way back when I was, the junior Sunday school class, Apostolic Faith Assembly in Superior, Wisconsin, the church I went to as a little guy, we were supposed to memorize a verse of Scripture and come tell it on Sunday. That one was kind of short, so I can remember that one. So I practiced it. And then the Sunday school, I quoted the verse, and I thought I was doing good. And then the teacher says, "What does that mean?" And I said, "I belong to Jesus Christ. Because I belong to Jesus Christ, God owns me." Ooh, she was so happy. You know, these verses of Scripture that our kids learn in Sunday school, when they're in their 60s, they'll still remember them. It'll fuel them their whole life long. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then God is watching over you. Amen. Praise the Lord. The plan of secession is prevalent in the kingship of men, but it's not so in the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs with God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Child of God, saint, it's not always easy. And sometimes it's hard. In my understanding of Scripture, our world is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. So love God no matter what. Love God if it becomes hard. Still love God. If it becomes difficult, still love God. If it becomes dangerous, and it might, still love God. There was an article today, I'm varying from my notes. Fox News had this. Of course, you figure I watch, look at Fox News, right? This, Bob Fu. He's the China Aid president. He was there at Tiananmen Square years and years ago, and he'd been an advocate for Christians in China. And in this article today that came out, he was comparing the very things that they were doing in China is what was being done here in the United States and Canada. You know, it wasn't very long ago when most churches in our community quit having service. I got a phone call from the mayor in his office right over there. Just, if you had a good arm, you could hit him with a rock. Hit the building, excuse me. So that was a miss. You could probably, if you had a good arm, you could throw it right into their yard. It's close by. But he called me. The conversation started out like, are you having service? Yes, sir, we are. We're having service on Sunday. I don't tell them when we're having it, what time, Sundays, Mondays, Wednesdays. I said, yeah, we're still having service. He said, well, I've been getting calls from people in the community, and their churches are shut down, and they're calling me, asking me, how come you're allowed to have service? And they're upset with me because of what you're doing at your church. Do you know that you're not allowed to do that? I said, oh, no, sir, that is not true. And then I cited the government's or the governor's executive order that allowed churches to be open with restrictions that you space out and wear a mask. I said, we are completely in compliance with the governor's order. Of course, I had it printed out and by my desk, right? So it was real easy to refer to. I knew exactly chapter and verse what we were allowed to do and what not. But the conversation started out like a bully. Now, it could be, and it has happened, in California, in Canada, in some other areas of the United States, that they actually arrested the minister because they refused to close their churches. I knew that was happening. And I also knew that we are going to have church unless God tells me to stop. If I have breath, God ordained me, God made me, God led me here to do this very thing. And I'm going to do what God says rather than what somebody else says. God's word is more important to me than the governor's word or the president's word. Now, it turned out fine. I think the whole COVID stuff, I think we canceled one service because a number of our leadership was sick. But we didn't lock down. But there could be a time when that does happen. So what are you going to choose to do? You got to choose to serve God. Whether if it's good time, happy time, sad time, bad time. It doesn't matter what the temperature outside is. It doesn't matter what the temperature of our society is. You got to choose to serve God when it's hard and when it's easy. Well, it's easy to serve God when the Holy Ghost is flowing and God is moving and, you know, blessings are happening. It's easy to serve God then. But it may not always be easy. To sit with Christ, we must be children of the kingdom, heirs of the Father, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and overcoming Christians in all things. We got to overcome the things of the world. We got to overcome things in our family. We got to overcome things in our own society. We got to overcome our own weaknesses and become servants to Jesus Christ. You see, there is no blessing more worthy of our labor than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is more important than any other aspect of my life. And I've got a blessed life. I've got a nice job. I got a great family. But the kingdom of God is what keeps my life in order. When I put God first, then God lets everything else come along and be blessed. I'm blessed on my job because I serve God. My family is blessed because I serve God. If I chose not to serve God, other parts of my life would not be blessed. Life can be full of chaos and confusion and destruction. You know what? I don't want no part of that no more. I had a taste of that a long time ago, and I don't want no more of that. I want to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to decide. You're going to have to grow some thick skin, if you will. You got to serve God when it's easy and serve God when it's hard. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want to be blessed on your job? Put God first. You want your family to be blessed? Put God first. Amen. You want to have sufficiency in all things? Put God first. You know, we must come to the absolute decision. We got to decide. To which master And to which cause will we be dedicated? No man can serve two masters. Put God first. Christ is to be Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. He is Lord of all. You got to put Jesus Christ is Lord over my work. He is the Lord over my family. He's the Lord over my finances. He's the Lord over my habits. He's the Lord over my desires. He's the Lord over what I do, what I want to be. He's the Lord over my past. He's brought me out. He brought me up. God's bringing me through. Jesus, Jesus. Christ, Jesus Christ did not come to sit on a throne on the earth yet. He's going to one day. I read that in the Bible too. But not yet. But he did come to die on a cross. He fulfilled that part. He already did his part. You know, there really was. Jesus Christ is the very best example of all examples that have ever been. He really is. And even in his greatness and glory and examples, he went through great suffering. Suffering. Well, let me read this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 3. You may be familiar with this. And this is where I intended to take this little clip. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Jesus knew what it was. And then I read the next verse. And then I read the next verse. And then I read the next verse and the next verse and the next verse. And then, you know, I just read down to the end of that chapter, and I just, whoa! Isaiah, in the Old Testament, was prophesying exactly what Jesus would do. Let me go there. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, for he hath no form or comeliness. And when we see him, or when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't He-Man. You know, he wasn't great to look at. It wasn't no great beauty in his human form. Verse 53. This is where I wanted to read one verse, but I got caught up in this whole chapter. I couldn't stop. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You think, as I read through this, think of the life of Jesus Christ and what happened to him. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Think of the path to the cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took the suffering for our sin. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our badness was set on his goodness. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Think of what they did to him. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I tell you, Jesus could have called tens of thousands of angels to come at his command. He could have spoke the word and laid them out. They didn't have him captive. He was willingly subjected to their control. Think about that. And this is Isaiah talking about Jesus Christ. I guess I could have looked it up how many years before, but way before. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, was he stricken? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and he was an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. We can be made right, made justified because of what Jesus did. For he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus bore our sin on the cross. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Here's the example. You know, we are talking about the great, to be great in the kingdom of God, you got to be servant. Nobody did this except Jesus. Nobody went through all of this except Jesus. The only one that Isaiah could possibly be talking about is Jesus. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He died on a cross like the thieves, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Tell you what, Jesus Christ is the example of greatness. His life was a life of suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Jesus told James and John that to rule, one must first suffer. Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of? You know, they answered very assuredly, very quickly, very much confident. We can. And surely they did. Jesus was referring to the cup which he drank at Gethsemane and on Calvary. Matthew 26, verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In his flesh, Jesus didn't want to go through that suffering. In his flesh, he didn't want to be tortured. He didn't want to be he didn't want the shame, to be despised. He didn't want all that in the flesh. But he was willing in the spirit. James and John, they certainly did suffer in different ways. James, perhaps was the first apostle to martyrdom. John continued a life of struggle, sacrifice, abandonment, put on Patmos, wrote Revelation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what? I want to live my whole life for Jesus Christ. I want to decide that if I'm breathing air, I'm living for Jesus Christ. And then when I die, it gets even better. You don't have to be afraid of death. A Roman coin was found with the picture of an ox on it. The ox was facing two things, an altar and a plow. The inscription on that coin said, ready for either. The ox had to be ready for the supreme sacrifice on the altar, or the long labor of plowing in the field. Ready for either. Jesus, if you'll use me in this life, then God, use my life. But Lord, if it's my time to go, I want to be with you. Amen. Live or die, let it be in Jesus Christ. Do everything you can for him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've got to jump down here. An example of greatness. I'm closing with this. Jesus asked us to do what he did. He came into the world not to occupy a throne, but to die on a cross. You know, what did you come to the kingdom of God for? Why do you come to church? You know, that's kind of a sticky question. You come to be served or to serve? I pray that you'll come to magnify Jesus Christ. to come find what God wants from me and serve him. The cross of Christ is a stone of stumbling to many. You know, there's probably some people that don't like our church. Well, they're Jesus only. No, I'd say we're Jesus everything. A little different. Jesus is the Father, and he is the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy One. There's a difference. Jesus is everything. Oh, well, you have to do this and you have to do that. No, I do this because I love him. I want to be holy because he is holy. I choose to serve him. Nobody makes me. I think Jesus used, again, it's so rich in my memory, the communion and foot washing service we just recently had. Jesus was the example. Jesus is still our example. And Jesus came to serve. Stand with me, would you? If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, serve him. Serve him. Find a way to please God. Would you lift your hands and would you magnify him with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, I thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, for all that you've done. I pray your will, God, in your people. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Thank you, God, for your favor. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Lord, not to stumble over the cross, but to pick it up and to minister and to serve you, Lord. To do your will, God. To be pleasing, God, before you. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Thank you, God, for your favor. Jesus, I praise you. I worship you. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful God, I adore you. In Jesus' precious name, thank you, Lord, for your great example. In Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Okay, one announcement.
So the